Welcome to the Jet Reel Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Treese. And this week's episode, I sincerely hope this is not your first time listening to my podcast because this is going to be a bit of a somber episode, but I'm going to do my best to keep it positive, but I am going to be discussing the recent loss of our mayor and dearly loved little lady, Ghosty. So let's just jump into it. All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope that you all had a good week and or good 5 minutes in between changing podcast episodes, depending on if you have listened to all of them yet or not. But like I said, hope this isn't your first episode because it's a little sad. And the podcast usually is pretty upbeat, lots of fun topics to discuss. But this week has not been so fun. So where to start? First of all, I have been sick, and I got tested for the Rona and strep, and I had neither, so don't know what's wrong with me, but, yeah, so I'm recovering. I'm finally, like, not sick or fevery or pus pocket on the back of my throat to eat anymore, and my cats have been sick. Currently, I am at a bill of $520 for Archie. My little tabby and white cat. So not been a good week vet wise. Yeah, the ghosty thing. So 2 days ago, I believe that was March 2nd. Yeah, it's March 4th right now. On Saturday, it started out. It's a pretty normal day. I, was finally feeling better, getting over my sick, and I had just played with Zoe and played with Juno and the foals. And I was like feeling really inspired because I've been doing the liberated horse course and just like really wanting to connect and be around the horses. And so I went out and I was messing with Dexter, who is Dixie's foal. And his halter is getting a little tight. And before anyone comes at me, like they already have, for leaving halters on, they are leather, and it's just in case something happens to one of them and they get loose or something, so we can just redirect them. But they're leather, so if they get hung on anything, they will break. But yeah, so leave me alone. But also, they're not my horses. What do you want me to do? But yeah, so his halter was getting a little tight because they grow so fast. Oh my god, they're a month old. And Dexter, when he stands with his head up, he's my height. His withers come up to like my armpit, just about. They're gonna be huge. But anyway, so I was loosening his halter, and he slipped out of it, and I hadn't worked on it with him yet because I'm very new to working with baby horses. So, you know, introducing a halter is something that I haven't like really put much thought in. And so, I was like, oh, I guess we have to work on that. And rather than like, you know, fight with him or try to make it happen out in the field, I was like, he's a lot more comfortable and a lot more keen to hang out when he's in the stall. And his mama was ready for dinner time. So she was kind of walking the fence line a little bit, making it difficult for me to work with him. So I was like, you know what, screw it. I'll do it tonight. So I waited until our feed guy brought them in and everything. And I texted him and I was like, I'll be down in a little bit to put the halter back on Dex. And he was like, okay. So he said that he fed the cow at around 6:30, which can take like 15 minutes or so. So probably about 6:45, he left the barn and he said that everybody was fine. You know, both moms were like just hanging out, looking out of their stall doors, just chilling, grazing on their hay, whatever. And then he left the barn. And then a little while later, like 7:20-ish, I think, is when I was there. So about 40 minutes had passed. And I got down there to work with Dex. And I haven't gotten any sleep lately. I was up very late last night editing a video of Ghosty, which you should check out. It's on YouTube. It's a pretty nice tribute, but be prepared to cry. Maybe watch at 9 after you've taken your makeup off or whatever, if you're not going anywhere. Yeah, so I went down there, I walked in the barn, and I noticed, that Ghosty had shavings on her back, and I was like, that's weird, I don't think I've ever seen them roll in these stalls or lay down, because the stalls, if I'm being frank, are very small. I'm trying to talk Sunny into knocking some walls out if we're gonna keep breeding, because they're just ridiculously small, and it's not made for that, but, we want the babies to be able to come in and out and be handled as much as possible. Because, I mean, realistically, I can't hang out with them all day. So just bringing them in and out, you know, getting touched and poked and having a little routine, you know, is nice because they're going to go to inspections and stuff like that for the breed. But speak up, Jill. Yeah, so, I mean, I would prefer, you know, obviously in a perfect world that they're out 24/7, but again, not my horses, and I don't have time to make up the difference. So, and it is nice to work with them in a more controlled environment. Anyway, so stalls are small. Moms don't usually lay down, so I already thought that was weird, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna keep an eye on that. Hindsight, you know, of course, I'm like, I should have just pulled her out, but I do remember thinking it was weird. But, you know, I get paranoid because Zoe just had colic surgery, what, 2 years ago, a year, I can't even remember. But so I'm always like, you're being paranoid, it's fine, horses can lay down or roll. So I was like, you know what, I'll just keep an eye on her. So I went in the stall with Dex and Dixie and was working on so many body things are happening. Keep burping and yawning. Very bad podcaster. So working with Dex, you know, how I'm teaching him to halter is, they love scratches. I made sure that when those babies were born that they love to be touched. So, I, you know, just went in there and I would put the halter on his nose and scratch him. And then I'd put the halter on his nose and scratch him, and gradually worked up to where I could just put it on and off. And he's totally fine. And that took about, 10 minutes. And, at the end of the video that I was taking, which I will not be posting, cause I didn't watch it cause I didn't hear Ghosty lay down again, but I couldn't bear seeing that she did if she did, but I don't think she did, because I was paying attention to it, but, you know, I was also a little bit distracted, so it's possible, so I just deleted the video, but at the end of it, I was like, crap, I think she's colicking, so I quickly exited the stall and walked over to her, and she was laying down on the ground, and I looked at her and I was like, this just doesn't feel right. So I called Sunny, her owner, my boss, and I was like, I think Ghosty's colicking. And she was like, what, why? And I was like, and as soon as she asked that question, Ghosty rolled over and got cast against the wall, and I was like, fuck, this is why we don't have small stalls, and god, it's just a bad situation. So I hung up on Sunny and called Anna and Jeremy, who are the people that work here with me and feed. And they ran over, and me and Jeremy rolled her back over off the wall. And if you don't know what getting cast is, it's when horses roll, like, and get stuck up against a fence or a wall, they can't push themselves back over, so they get stuck upside down. It's very distressing for them. It's why... you know, Zoe's colic was so bad, she got cast too. But Ghosty, I mean, she couldn't have been upside down longer than 3 minutes. Like, it seriously, I watched her roll over, called Jeremy, he got in there, and we rolled her back over, because they live right next to that barn. So, I mean, like, they walked over as fast as they could. Jeremy has bad knees, he can't run. So it's probably 3 minutes. We got her rolled back over. She stood up. I said, walk her. I'm going to, take the golf cart back up to the barn, get a Banamine shot, and come back down. So I did that, came back up here, went back down there, got it, got the shot on the first stick, got it all in there. She was good to go. She still kept trying to go down on the gravel, and we were like, shit. So I called Sunny again, and she was like, take her to Jesse's, who's our vet. And I was like, okay. So I drove all the way back up here. And I'm getting out of breath just thinking about how much I was running around. As Jeremy was walking her, trying to keep her up. And I got the truck and trailer, drove it down there. And me and Jeremy's daughter pushed Astro onto the trailer. And he went on super fast. And Ghosty was right behind him. And so, I mean, like, everything we were doing was so fast. Like, we got it together. I mean, like, she couldn't have been colicking for more than, like, she at max 40 minutes. Because, but Jeremy said that when he was in the barn, like, he did not see her doing anything at all. So, I don't know. But, yeah. So, we got her on the trailer, and she pooped. And we were like, oh, my God. That's probably it then, because we thought she was impacted if she was, you know, trying to go down after the Banamine. But she pooped, and we were like, Jeremy was like, do you think we should still take her? And I said yes, and then I was like, I'm going to go ahead and call Sunny and double check. I had already pulled out of the farm, but I was like, I guess I should make sure. And Sunny was like, yeah, you need to take her still. And, you know, we're pulling into the farm, and she called Jeremy, and she was like, you know, you guys can probably leave her there and just pick her up in the morning. It'll be fine. And he was like, we're going to hang out a little bit longer. I didn't hear that phone call. Jeremy told me that on the way back, but it never even crossed my mind. I was going to be there with her that whole time. But so we unloaded her, and I walked her over to the grass while I was waiting on the vet to come down from his house. And I was on the phone with Sunny, and Jeremy was like, she's on the ground. And I looked over, and she's just like laid down right where she was standing. And I was like, shit. My God, I didn't even hear it. And so I got her back up. We walked her around the barn, put her in the stocks, and our vet palpated her, and he couldn't feel anything. And they did blood work and everything, and we just, like, hung out for a little while. He gave her some drugs to see if it would get better, and she was still trying to go down in the stocks. And so he looked at the blood work again, and all her levels were completely normal. I mean, that's how fast we caught it. Nothing had even changed in her blood work yet. Like, it wasn't even showing stress or anything like that. He palpated her one more time, and it was very painfully obvious he found the twist. He stuck his hand in, and he poked something, and she groaned and about fell over, and it was so painful to watch. And he gave me the look, and I was like, fuck. And I knew that that was going to be it. And he talked to Sunny, and he was like, I just really, this mare is in a lot of pain. I don't think she's going to make it to Red River, which is the vet facility in Louisiana, is where we took Zoe to. And it's 3 hours away. We don't have a vet facility or a surgical facility like that in Arkansas. So he was like, I don't think she'll make the trailer ride. I think you'll lose her before that. And he was like, she's suffering. And so Sunny was like, all right, do it. So we loaded Astro onto the trailer, and Jeremy and Jesse, poor Jeremy, did not want to deal with that at all. And I don't blame him, because, I mean, he deals with those horses every single day. You know, I mean, I do too to some degree, but, I mean, his is morning and night. And he had to walk over there, and our vet just, like, you know, put the whatever, I think it was an oral thing. That's what it looked like. It looked like a big tube of Butte, but I don't know. I wasn't paying very much attention. I was like, I don't want to know. And so they walked her over, and Jeremy said that he just, our vet kind of just walked her in a circle, and then she just laid down and was gone. And so it was a very peaceful death. It really, really sucks. Just seeing an animal that you have grown up loving and got the, you know, the pleasure of competing on and knowing and training and just enjoying, just lying there in the grass, lifeless, is just, it's really, really heartbreaking, especially when you have a baby screaming and hollering in the trailer, like, just absolutely heart-wrenching. And I'll never forget standing there with her head in my arms in the stocks, just crying, knowing that there's nothing I can do to save her. And, you know, of course, everybody around me is like, they're all fine because I deal with this stuff all the time, but I'm like bawling my eyes out and trying really hard to keep my shit together. Yeah, especially you know, because now we have a job to do. We had to get Astro home, which sucked so bad. I mean, that was absolutely painful, but he had to come home. Sunny, you know, called her connections and got a nurse mare scheduled for the next day, which was yesterday. And so we got Astro home, got him in a stall. He was very sad, but he made it and didn't hurt himself or anything like that. And then our nurse mare got here yesterday, and she took to Astro pretty quickly. The lady that brought her had some drugs or whatever. I guess she's done this, or she is adept, I guess. I don't know. Just helped her, help the process along. We had her hobbled and tied up for a little while, but they connected pretty quickly. And the lady said that the surest test is to walk the baby out of the stall and see how the mom reacts. And we walked him like a foot out of the stall, and she nickered at him, and we were like, okay, that's enough. And so we brought him back in, turned him out today, and boy, was he happy to be outside. And he's climbing all over her and playing with her, and she's just so tolerant, never pinned an ear at him. Just is such a good surrogate. So really, really happy at how that's working out. You know, it's not the same. It's not ghosty. But I am really happy for Astro that that's working out so well, because we have had nurse mares in the past, so says Sunny, that have just never liked the foals. So it sucks and it's hard, but it's better than him being a bucket baby. Or he has to drink out of a bucket forever, or until he's grown, you know. But yeah, so that's how we're doing. I tried to record this episode yesterday, I guess. Yeah, it was yesterday, I think. I don't know. My days have kind of become a blur. And I remember the episode. I was just very somber, and really just would not have been enjoyable to listen to at all, and I'm sure that this isn't, but at least I'm a little bit livelier today. But yeah, so that's where we're at. The whole farm is heartbroken. We all loved Ghosty a lot. And, you know, I spent, I think, a year with her or so, and competing her and working her. And when I first started riding her, she was really, really sensitive to the bit. And if you watch the video on YouTube that I posted, you'll see some of that. She's very chompy on it. Because the girl that rode her before me was a little heavy-handed. I got her, you know, where she was going pretty comfortably. And, then after that, I wasn't here, but they put a mini in with her, at one point, and it scared her. So she jumped the fence and ran around the farm and did her suspensory, and that's why she never, you know, had like a jumping career, and that's why she was retired out here. And this baby was her new job, was to, you know, be a broodmare, be a mom. I was talking to Sunny today because we had no idea what caused her to colic. She didn't drink much water in her stall that I noticed. Like nothing really had changed as far as like the farm surroundings that, you know, any of us noticed. The weather hadn't changed in a couple of days or anything like that. Her feed was the same, so we couldn't really figure out why. And Sunny said that it's possible that, because when Astro was born, he tried to come out of her rectum, and they had to twist him around to where he would come out, you know, the right hole. And she said that it's possible that during labor she injured or, you know, tore something, and the colic, you know, was just it starting and then it getting cast just made it worse. So I don't know. We're just speculating at this point, but that does sound like it could be a likely explanation that, you know, it just took a while for it to rupture or whatever, and then it made her colic, and then getting cast just escalated it. I was just blown away, because Zoe colicked and she got cast, and they're about the same age. So, I mean, there really shouldn't have been any difference. I mean, because Zoe, she colicked, got cast, we walked her, she got oiled very quickly, and then put back, and then she came, we got her back out, a few hours later, took her to the vet, because she was still colicking, they put her on fluids, had her all night, then we came back the next day, and then drove her 3 hours to Louisiana, at like, I don't know, 10 a.m., and then we got there at like 1 p.m., I guess. So, I mean, Zoe had like almost an entire day of colicking, which sucks, but she survived. So that's what's making us think that Ghosty probably had something else going on, which sucks. Because, like, in hindsight, like, oh, God. And that's just why breeding is so dangerous. I mean, obviously, we don't know if that's the reason, but that's a primary concern of and reasoning behind why I decided that I'm never breeding Zoe. As amazing as it would be to have a miniature Zoe, I do not want to change her in my perception from my baby to a mom. That's just weird. She's my child and I love her, and I don't want that perspective shift to happen. And also, it's so risky. You just don't know. And apparently it's pretty common for you know, the moms to die like a month after or during labor. You know, it's something just goes slightly off and then they're gone. And I just, you know, I almost lost Zoe twice in the past couple of years with the kick, and thought her leg was just gonna kill her, and then colic surgery. You know, I can't risk her anymore. And then beyond that, like, what am I gonna do with the baby? Like, I don't need a baby horse, I have her. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. But yeah, just think twice if you're wanting to breed. I've seen a lot of things on Twitter that are like, don't breed your horse unless you're ready to risk it, you know, because it can happen and it's very dangerous. So all that said, yeah, it's just been a sad couple of days. Last night I was up until 2 a.m. editing, a video of Ghosty. It's up on my YouTube right now. Jetteq with Theory, JetteqUitheory, if you would like to check it out. It's called Ghosty, A Loving Memory, I believe. It will make you cry. I bet. It made me cry editing it. I was a mess trying to, like, cut and, you know, rearrange things. Well, I'm like, because the song I picked, too, is, like, ridiculous. I mean, I was originally trying to edit a video of me and Zoe, but, I heard the song and I was like, nah, I gotta make a video for Ghosty. So I went through all of my footage with her and made it. So give that a watch if you haven't already. But yeah, I think that I hate that this episode is so short, because normally I talk for about 40 minutes, but I'm gonna be honest, I'm very tired and exhausted from dealing with the ponies and the kitties. I mean, today I held a ton of horses for the dentist, and then I had to take two exams, so I've been out for a very long time. It's like 9:15 right now, and I'm so tired. But the good news is I am all done with my bachelor's degree, and I will be starting my master's in June. So yes, very exciting. I have May off, and I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm planning on getting all of my emails answered, all of my DMs answered, editing a few videos, because I have some that I would really like to post, and I think I'm going to edit those soon. And then, what else do I have? I have a lot of books I want to get read, and I want to finish the Liberated Horse course. Really, really enjoying that. A, it's beautiful, and B, like, the information is just priceless. Mosey is a genius. And most of it, like, is operant conditioning, and a lot of it's a refresher. But, it's kind of like going to a clinic. You just hear it said a different way, and you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Or that's a good way to, like, you know, explain it to people. So, regardless, it's priceless. Really enjoying that. And I believe it's half off right now, if I'm not mistaken. So, take advantage of that. But, yeah, I think I'm probably just going to end this episode early. I don't really have a whole lot to say. You know, and it's kind of a sad episode anyway. I guess I should I don't know. A lot of people always ask me, you know, how do you cope and deal with the loss of a horse? I don't even know. 'Cause I mean, I loved Ghosty, and you know, she was like a stepchild to me. I spent time with her all the time. I was constantly out in her pasture messing with Astro and petting her and messing with her in her stall and giving her haircuts and grooming her and riding her all those years. But I can't even imagine that it would compare to losing Zoe. I feel like if I lost Zoe, I would just be a wreck, like an absolute wreck. Because I know how I've reacted when I've sold horses in the past, and like actually losing them, I just can't even imagine. To Ghosty's situation, honestly, I'm kind of numb. My coping mechanism, I guess, is just to kind of like push it to the side. I cried about it, forced myself to write about it and acknowledge it, film a video or edit a video, make it real, and like acknowledge that it happened. Oops, sorry, bumped the mic. I'm trying to pop my neck. But yeah, it still doesn't feel like I'm not going to walk outside and see her in the pasture, you know? But it's way too soon. You know, I think she was only like 11, maybe. I don't really know how old she was. You can look her up on Equibase. Ghostly Appeal. Everybody in the comments likes to call her Ghostly or Ghost. That's not her name. It's Ghosty. So get it right. Also, some more bones I have to pick with individuals is that when you comment things on people's videos or pictures, just think, especially if it's like a memorial thing, just maybe like take half a fucking second of your time to read what the person wrote before you ask questions, and also double check the gender. That's probably just a me thing, but it was so very annoying to read people like, "He looks like such a cool horse, RIP." Like, I don't even have words for how dumb that is. I'm so sorry. I know they mean well, and it wasn't any ill intent, but she did have a baby at the end of the video, so I don't know if that wasn't clear in the way I edited it, but she's also in a lot of the clips, so I don't, whatever. Just, and also people commenting what happened. Like, I get it when, you know, someone or something dies, your first question is, what happened? How? Which is why on Instagram I posted immediately about it and gave all of the details so that everyone would know and nobody would ask me any questions that I would feel like I needed to answer. But then I posted it on YouTube, put the same caption I did on Instagram on YouTube, and still got tons of what happened comments. Like, read the damn caption, maybe? Or just check to see if there is a caption first. Like, I'm sorry if that's bitchy, but that's so annoying to me. I have never been a person that, like, if I'm gonna go out of my way to comment and ask a question and then wait on that person to respond, like, I'm gonna try and find the answer myself first. Like, I do not get that, like, helplessness, I guess. I don't know what to call that. Like, do-it-for-me-ness, I guess. Because, like, I feel like it's going out of my way to comment. Like, I don't like to bother people. I guess maybe that stems from being somebody who has to answer a lot of questions from a lot of randos all the time. Randos probably isn't a very nice term, but you know what I mean, like just a bunch of random people asking me questions all the time, and I have to answer them. So I'm like, did you really need me to answer that for you, or could you not have found it out yourself? So I'm just saying, be a little considerate of people when they're going through hard times, as to not, you know, be intrusive and be considerate with your words and intentional, instead of just being like, what happened? Or, oh, he looks nice. Like, a lot of people commented, like, I saw this one dude commented and was like, oh, it's so good. Beautiful video. I'm so glad you're posting again. And I was like, that seems very odd thing to say about a memorial video, but okay. That's just weird. But yeah, that's not to underscore the volumes on volumes of people saying the sweetest condolences and writing the nicest messages. I mean, a lot of the comments genuinely brought me to tears, because they were so kind. Like, there was one quote, it's really liked, like, it's been thumbs up a lot on my YouTube, so it's probably the top comment. If not, I'll probably end up pinning it, but I can't remember what the quote was, but, just the way the girl worded it, and she was talking about, like, looking up at the stars and seeing that diamond-shaped muzzle, it's just like, oh, God, I'm getting a little no-stingy, misty-eyed thinking about it, just... Ugh, I don't know, but yeah, just be considerate of people, you know, when they're going through a hard time, instead of, you know, thinking about you. I want answers to these questions. Answer them now, you know. Yeah, I can't, on how to cope with the loss of a horse, I don't know. I haven't had to deal with it, and I hope that I don't have to for a very long time. Ghosty, it doesn't feel good, but it made me feel more grateful for Zoe, you know? Like, I could have very easily lost her the same way. And I still probably wouldn't be okay if I had lost her. So when I got home, I went out in her paddock and hugged her and her mom and just messed with them for a little bit. Hung out with her for a long time the next day, too. Yeah, it just... It makes you think. And, yeah, so... I don't know. I don't really have too much else to say. Oh, here's another thing before I say that I don't have anything else to say for the third time. Misty is our Kilpin rescue mare that Sunny rescued because she was pregnant, and they said she's going to foal any day now, and that was like 3 months ago. I'm kidding. I don't know how long it was ago, but it was a while ago. It was probably like might have been 3 months ago, actually. But she... according to Sunny, I haven't double-checked this, but she has started waxing, so she is about to have a baby, which is really exciting. We don't know what it is. She's a big, big-ass quarter horse mare, and so the foal will probably, where our money is on either Appaloosa, mule, or boring quarter horse thing. So hopefully it will be cute and not ugly so that I do not ignore it for the warm blood babies. But I'm sure I'll love it anyway, especially since I'm the one that's on full watch. But yeah, we're gonna have her palpated again this week to make sure that everything seems to be going in the right direction, because last thing we need is another rectum incident. So yeah, speaking of rectum incidences, poor Archie's booty hole looks so bad. He's had some diarrhea. Archie's my cat. And you just look so sad, little buddy. Archie! Speak. You're normally so talkative. No? No words today. No words for the podcast. Sorry, you guys. He's normally very, very loud. But anyway, I think that's gonna do it. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. So check us out, by us I mean me, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Jet Equitheory, same way I spelled it earlier. You can also check out this podcast, Jet Real Podcast, on Instagram and Facebook. I also have a website, jetequitheory.com, with lots of resources on positive reinforcement and things of that nature. Beyond that, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening. Give your ponies an extra hug and really appreciate them, because, can't do that when they're gone, obviously. And it really does suck. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. I'll see you guys through your ears next Tuesday. Okay, bye.